All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Gentlemen, how are we this fine morning?
I'm doing so well.
Chuck is bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Oh, it's so amazing. Everything's going beautifully in the basketball universe for old Chucky boy.
Chuck is celebrating in the ill fortunes of
what?
The hated Cavs franchise.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a happy man. It has nothing to do with the fact that the Cavaliers experiment around LeBron. LeBron is now completely started to fall apart.
Chuck is a sin eater.
Kevin Love will be in LA next year. And everything that I hope for. Today we find out Andrew Wiggins is Rookie of the Year. It's beautiful, and it's a beautiful day for basketball.
It's all coming together for you. But more importantly, did you have time for a breakfast this morning?
I sure did. So for those who don't know, you'll hear far less Coors Lights being opened during this podcast because it is now 10 in the morning on Friday, and we're...
Spoiler alert! We sometimes pretend we're recording in the morning.
No.
We never record in the morning.
No, it is always 4 o'clock or later. Today we are recording.
We are actually recording in the morning.
So this is our breakfast. Actually, I had coffee in a Rent mug.
Rent the musical.
The musical that Keith gave me. We're at Keith's house. So I woke up at 6:45 to go to my other job before I podcasted and sat in traffic coming from Murfreesboro to Nashville for an hour and 15 minutes.
City life.
Now, here's the thing. Waking up that early, guts weren't ready for an hour and a half in a car. I had to pull off to a Mickey D's and take my constitutional.
How does Mickey D's rank as a place for road?
You don't want to do it at the one in Antioch, Tennessee.
I got to say, McDonald's there's like a million of them, so it's really hard to judge.
Right, and they're all individually.
That's why you use Yelp.
Yeah.
Because those are individual.
I don't know.
I just thought of a million-dollar app.
Actually is a thing.
Is it?
Road toilet was a thing that I saw at one point, or something to that effect. It was like finding the closest bathroom to you, public bathroom to you.
So after,
but I want to know the best.
The best bathroom, right?
I go to
a truck stop man.
I'm a grocery store man.
Mm.
Most grocery stores, a lot of grocery stores will have like a lockable and it's not, and they have it cleaned. Like it's a secret. If I'm in need out in public, it's like, oh, I'm going to go find a Kroger.
I may never use a grocery store bathroom again because I saw a person die outside of one last week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, John saw death.
Eastland Kroger. I don't know if it was a heart attack or a seizure or
what. We do have listeners from all over.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have 3% of our listeners are from Denmark.
That's incredible.
So I don't know why.
But 3% of our listeners is also a listener.
Right.
So
that's one of the 30 people who lives in Denmark. But yeah, in East Nashville, John, you saw a man expire.
Yes.
In a Kroger.
Yes. And I went home and took my Lipitor immediately.
Of course, and did some push-ups. So tying this into food, since I was at the Mickey D's, McDonald's is offering a special.
McGriddle?
No, 2 for $5 sausage McMuffins. Sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffins. Not 2 for $5, 2 for $3.50, which is
I was about to say, what's the normal rate?
No, it's 2 for $3.50.
Okay.
That's a killer deal. Great sandwich, and enjoyed myself while I waited for traffic to die down.
Never had a McMuffin.
Way. It's not bad. It's a muffin.
That is a pro move. Whenever in the stop and go traffic, just pull off somewhere. Enjoy your life.
Yeah. Why get frustrated and ruin your brakes?
It's also the after like a large concert, if you're going to like Uber home or Lyft home, pro move.
Go have a drink.
That costs the same as whatever your surge fare pricing might be. Mm-hmm. Go have that drink and then catch the regular price, 40 minutes later.
For breakfast, I had a grapefruit and my domestic partner's seething hatred for waking up so early. Because we have a cavalcade of animals that all bark and yelp and mule.
Right.
And woke her up, and she called me first a which is not PC.
Right.
And
that will be bleeped.
Moron. So I am a moron today.
Of course.
I ate that grapefruit with unbelievable haste.
For my breakfast, I had a chocolate chip muffin. It was like it's like a Kroger. A lot of Kroger shout outs. I need to get on their payroll.
You are the X-Men villain, Sugar Man.
Yeah. It was a dairy-free, because we've been doing the dairy-free for the wife, and she'd made it. It was actually leftover. It was not made fresh today.
Is that a postpartum thing?
It was like made
dairy-free?
No, it was. It turns out our little Chase Buddy Bunger Parrish, the offspring, he apparently doesn't enjoy dairy that much. So for the comfort of the baby and for our also like peace,
yes,
she's cut out dairy, which is not peaceful for her really, because that's no cheeseburgers, no pizza. In case our listeners don't know what dairy is,
yes,
right.
Well, the lactose intolerant lifestyle is.
Yeah,
it's one I'm a part of, but I just refuse to heed all medical advice.
That's right. It's like, I have all the symptoms, but I ignore it.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of breakfast, this is not my worst of the week, but there's a national commercial. I think it's a national commercial playing during all these NBA games, and it purports to have two Nashvillians talking about breakfast. And it's close to our heart, so...
These are more like Nash villains, though.
So just, yeah, listen to this.
What made you switch to Taco Bell breakfast?
I don't want
to
be the spokesperson of the South, necessarily, but I can guarantee you that this is almost as good. It is as good as Mama's cooking.
That's a bold statement.
This is a good...
And I am outraged.
My name is Mary.
That is an embarrassment to us as Nash villains. I mean, one, referring to Taco Bell breakfast, which I don't think we should say their name again, but referring to their breakfast as being as good as Mama's cooking, and... saying I don't want to be a spokesman for the South, but while being a spokesman for the South, and again on the screen it says Nashville, Tennessee. Like,
to be fair, my mother's cooking is inedible.
I'm pretty sure we broke that biscuit taco here on Fast
Break. I think we
did.
We announced that it was a
James Harden just copying our shiz.
That's it.
Right.
That commercial is equally outraging, by the way. Because that guy never speaks to the media ever and then suddenly is effusive in his praise for some horrible breakfast taco.
And also, isn't Kevin Durant doing Sonic commercials?
Yeah. Yes, as a lawyer.
Is that appropriate?
No.
That seems just, you're rubbing it in the face. Anyway, we are now ending our breakfast talk, extended breakfast talk on this fine morning. And now, after breakfast talk, we do our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to atone for anything we've got incorrect in previous episodes. Does anyone have an apology?
Milwaukee, I don't know why I chose you to defeat the Bulls, but I apologize to any bettors or Milwaukeeans who had to endure that 66 point performance.
At one point, it was 84-38.
No, I think the final score was 120-66.
Ugh.
I don't know how this happens. That's a, I believe, yeah, 54 point loss. The fourth worst loss in NBA history in the playoffs.
The biggest loss in a closeout game.
What happened?
I would have thought Kobe would have lost a closeout game by more, but it turns out his are all in the 30s.
30s, yeah.
In the 30, 35, where his teammates decide they're done. We're clearly not winning. I'm going to quit.
All the past few weeks we've been praising Jason Kidd. We thought Milwaukee would put up a bigger fight against the Bulls, and for a while they were.
They looked,
I don't know what happened.
In your defense of picking the Bucks, they easily could or should have won game 3.
Yes.
They did. They then won a great game 4, and you know, so game 4 and 5 they won. Game 4, we saw that Jason Kidd, his performance last 10 seconds was the anti-Monty Williams.
Yes.
It was his team, he sees a loose ball happening. He sees Derrick Rose losing control of the ball with like 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
And he grabs a ref yelling timeout, timeout, timeout. So the minute I believe it was Future Grizzly Chris Miller and grabs the ball. The second he grabs it, the refs grant that timeout, and thus they can advance the ball because Chris Miller was just taken off down the court. Veteran Jared Dudley was also signaling timeout. But just one, Jason Kidd's awareness to immediately call timeout to advance the ball with 1.2, 1.8 or something seconds left is great. So many of the time you see the coach frantically screaming for a timeout and doesn't get it because obviously the refs, there's a turnover last second. They don't see it. But Kidd was ready to pretty much grab the ref, get the timeout, and then drew up a gorgeous out-of-bounds play to give Jared Bayless a little back cut, hit the layup at the buzzer.
And that's why this is so disappointing.
So then he just had nothing.
It was a classic case of the Butler did it.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Butler just took over this series.
He destroyed.
And then the team really lost composure. If anyone has seen,
I'll tell
the highlights,
you
they
oh
some, Mike Dunleavy got under people's skin.
The on a Tatumko tackle on Dunleavy.
No, he was trying to get...
Demands investigation.
He was trying to get drafted last night in the NFL draft.
at the five, I'm
going to start calling them the Nuck If You Bucks, because you guys don't get that hip-hop reference.
But our listeners will.
They will.
Denmark will.
they got live last night, and I don't know what that is. I guess the frustration is good in a way, because you see that there's passion. They don't want to lose. But they
let it.
It was
the Young Bucks that did it.
And they let it just get to them.
MC Dub went nuts, too.
He did. So
he endured Mike Dunleavy Jr., dirty guy.
He is.
He'd endured several throat shots before he finally snapped.
Of course. Scottie Pippen was about to hit the court and do some damage. He was like, this is it. I'm done watching this.
Scottie Pippen was about to Willis Reed that.
He was.
Because it was on.
Yeah, after
he
that
was
tackle.
Elated. Dunleavy, former Buck, I mean, I think as recently as 2014.
Right.
He stuck it to his boys.
Yeah.
He was on.
And you have to ask if that...
Nine corner threes made in the series.
Yeah, go ahead. Whoever it is, take the Bucks to lose their first game next year. Just go ahead and bet on that.
There's going
to
be a lot of suspensions.
They're
all suspended, maybe for the first week. 8 points? No, I mean, no one scored double digits for the Bucks yesterday. Not a single player.
Didn't the Jazz do that in the finals once? The Bulls beat them by 50 or
something? Yeah. So they lost composure. You don't know what that means for them going forward. You would like to end a series with a little bit of class and a little bit of heart, a la the Pelicans, who I will severely miss watching Anthony Davis play basketball. He's such a joy. But, yeah, you have a good point to build from. If you're Jason Kidd, you can take these kids and okay, we lost it. Now we have to get mentally strong if we want to play.
I have a theory. I don't know if it rises to the level of...
Is it conspiratorial?
Conspiracy. But I believe Jason Kidd had already booked a $13,000 Aria suite and fight package for the weekend, and he told the Young Bucks, like, boys,
dude loves Vegas.
We're gonna have some room service, maybe some table service,
sex in the champagne.
And then I think the boys were like, that sounds really fun. Let's be real, we're not gonna go much farther than this.
Who do we play after this? The Cavs? Forget it. Let's go have a
party. Or it might have been.
Let's pop it off.
Maybe Theonis on its Dumko had already had a non-refundable deposit on perhaps a room.
Theonis is a bad influence on you.
And I think Giannis was like, I got to get out of here. I don't know. I don't know if that's a...
Those alphabet brothers.
All right. My apology goes to a certain CJ McCollum, Portland Trailblazer. I last week said, and I quote, he's horrible. I was referring to his first two games, of course. I don't want to be taken out of context. In the first two games against the Grizzlies, he was horrible. I think he scored 6 points combined over 50 minutes. In games, however, he turned up for games 3 through 5.
Turn up?
He averaged 26 points a game in those last three games. 61% field goal percentage. He hit two-thirds of his threes. He had the go-ahead / game-winning three-pointer in game 4. He does not pass at all. However, he was on fire. And I do apologize. The fact that the Grizzlies won 2 out of 3 that CJ McCollum scored 26 in, I feel pretty good. But yeah. You were impressive. You were a Grizz killer. You saw Calathes, Courtney Lee, and Banu Udru guarding you as the either green light or the bull, the little red flag, the red cape being waved that says, charge at this, the bucket, and then lay it in.
That's what happens when you belittle Lehigh legends, Lehigh University.
Yeah.
I can't remember their, I'm scrambling to look up their mascot.
I feel like are they an owl?
Mountain Hawks.
Mountain Hawk.
Don't mess with a mountain hawk.
He'll always
like a hawk. It's coming at you from great height.
It's
even more. Just imagine the talons on such a mountain hawk.
They must be
large. And the 3-point range.
Chuck, you got anything you need to atone for?
I'm in the same boat, but I was wrong about the Blazers kind of being better than they played. I thought they were going to have a statistical uptick and put a series together against the Grizzlies, but it just wasn't the case. Dame Lillard should just He should call in sick whenever he plays the Memphis Grizzlies.
He never found his 3-point shot.
And that team as a whole could not hit shots except for Myers Leonard and CJ McCollum in two games.
Yeah. Myers Leonard finished the playoffs, I think, 78% or something from three. Right.
Absolutely.
He was a killer. It was funny watching they in the game five, they pretty much. I mean, they tried to start McCollum the first couple games, didn't work. But then it was funny. The starting lineup the Blazers were rolling out there, it was losing by 8 points in 2 minutes. And then immediately he would sub it in, Myers and McCollum, and they would go on a run. But we'll talk about more about that.
Stotts had a very rough series.
He might.
Chris Kamen said that Terry Scott, Terry Stotts is the only coach that he hasn't hated at the end of the year since Mike Dunleavy Sr. when he played for him. So
he hated Rick Carlisle.
Yep.
He hated.
I can't even follow this. Was he a Del Negro or a Doc Rivers?
Oh, definitely Del Negro. And everybody hated Del Negro.
Right. I guess he hated Mike Brown last year with the Lakers. D'Antoni.
Yeah, he hated D'Antoni.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. He hates them all. That's beautiful shade.
Yeah.
Like
he hates former point guards.
He does.
White former point guards can get stuffed.
Yeah.
All right. So those were all of our breakfast in bed apologies. Now, what's the best thing you saw in the last week? Your steak and eggs best thing.
Guys, there's a saint in Boston, St. Kelly.
Kelly Green.
He needs to be canonized and become a holy miracle-making saint. In the great world of basketball.
He does.
I don't think he did it on purpose. I don't think he pulled. Of course, we're talking about Kevin Love's injury, having his shoulder
subluxated.
It wasn't. It was a torn labrum.
Hey.
So he's going to require.
That sounds sexual.
4 to 6 months of recovery time. Hopefully he'll be doing it in Los Angeles and realizing how terrible Cleveland is. Side note, Joakim Noah said, I've never been excited in my life
to go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Was it his labrum minora or which part of his hoo-ha did Kevin Love tear?
No, that's... Oh, never mind, John.
We did talk.
I wanted to do a segment.
Well, I mean, going into the season, it was always... No one talks about it. Well, I mean, some people talk about it, but Kevin Love gets hurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets hurt doing push-ups.
Anderson Varejao gets hurt. Yeah. Andy Varejao's gone. Yeah. You know, now Kevin Love's gone. I don't want to hex Kyrie Irving. I'd hate to see him twist an ankle this week something. But
would you hate to see that? I don't believe you.
I actually, if someone besides the Cavs makes the Eastern Conference, makes the NBA Finals, truthfully, I will be upset because that's ridiculous. Because right. These teams are horrible.
The call train's coming.
I wouldn't be upset if the Hawks made it because of their great regular season and because no one hates Hawks fans because there aren't any.
Right.
But it's like the Wizards looked good against the Raptors. The Wizards are horrible. If they make a conference finals, I'll be angry. It's just something about the injustice of all the teams in the West.
Yeah.
You don't believe in wit mania?
The Clippers or the Spurs are going to be out. And then you're telling me like, the Wizards have a 1 in 10 chance of making the NBA Finals. That upsets me.
Let's talk about how absurd Kevin Love's claims are that Kelly Olynyk did this on purpose.
What about?
I wanted to do a segment on the show where I tried to dislocate Keith's shoulder. Keith, as producer, wisely overruled me.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I couldn't have done it if I wanted to.
John's got the weight on me. We would not be in the same wrestling class.
You're right.
I think you can yank a shoulder.
I don't know.
How do I do it on purpose while holding a basketball?
Like 30 seconds before, Kevin Love had Kelly Olynyk in the same kind of arm bar situation, and nothing happened. Rick Fox pointed it out on the replay.
Kelly Olynyk's like a long-haired goober from Gonzaga.
Yeah, he makes his own like mustache oil.
Have you
heard
know
what I mean?
His teammates joke about, oh, Kelly always does that because he can't box out.
Right.
And he's not a particularly tough guy. He's not a bruiser. He isn't one of those enforcer kind of guys.
He shoots the three.
Yeah, he's very
finesse.
I'm
annoyed with David Griffin of the Cavs. He's like, well, I don't know, he's GM or vice president or something. Him just being outraged and sickened and pretty much calling out Kelly Olynyk when the Cavaliers did some of the dirtiest things I've ever seen.
How can we do any of this talking when J.R. Smith's sitting?
I mean,
right,
I don't want to. I don't want to give away my cream of wheat. So we might need to. We might need to move on. But
let's just seg.
I'll do my best.
I got to do mine as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll stick around with the stinging eggs. My best thing. I don't know if we talk about them enough, because we could talk about them probably around the clock on our series. Steph Curry is special. The golden child of the NBA.
We should just have a Steph Curry podcast one day.
Steph Curry on the road in New Orleans. New Orleans played well. They were reasonably competitive even out in Oracle in Golden State.
Yeah.
First two games could have gone either way.
And they hung around, definitely. And then I won't give you go either way, but competitive. But
game three. It was a 10-point loss, but it was competitive.
Right. Game three, the Pelicans were killing him, up 20 going into the fourth. Steph Curry in that game hits that amazing game-tying three-pointer where he gets clobbered, and the refs are like, whatever, we're not call foul. And then goes on, and they pull off borderline miraculous comeback. And then in game four, Steph was just lights out. Unbelievably lights out. Even though the Pelicans played well, and we're within shouting distance the whole game, Steph Curry was hitting every shot. In those two games, the two road games, Steph Curry averaged 39.5 points per game, 9 assists, and he hit 13 of 26 threes in just two games. So Steph Curry, you are one why everyone loves the Warriors bandwagon. There's like no backlash to the Warriors bandwagon because it's just so fun.
He was the bastard child of Michael Jordan and Reggie Miller in that game.
Yeah, he just looked completely unstoppable. Sad note, with the Pelicans being gone, that means this year there will be no Norris Cole in the finals for the first time.
In his career
for 3 years. So that day sadly has ended, and now my son's name means nothing.
Well, let's think about this. You could change your son's name to the backup point guard for the Warriors, who I believe is Sean Livingston. You could name your son Livingston.
That's a super great name.
Livingston Anderson.
Oh God, he'll definitely own him. Like,
that's an aristocrat's name.
That is.
Anthony Davis, after being knocked out of the playoffs, the only players in NBA history to average 30 points per game and 10 rebounds per game in their first four playoff games are Bob McAdoo, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt the Stilt, Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Those are
incredible.
The three greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
Mr. McAdoo.
Those are some good offensive players.
Those are three Lakers.
Yeah. All right. Did you have a best thing?
I do. And it's in a similar vein that we could talk about this player or players pretty much every week. Chris Paul forcing a game seven through sheer will.
He's been playing off the charts.
His second half was basically flawless. And really, that's my best thing, is that we get a game seven. I was worried.
Spurs Clippers is gone. I think we mentioned it last week, or I mentioned it last week. I underestimated the Clippers.
Yes.
The Spurs are not hitting on all cylinders. Danny Green has been not non-contributor. Tony Parker has had a very rough, some of the analytical numbers are real down.
He's hurt again.
On poor Tony.
Got hurt in the first quarter of the first game.
Yeah, but also I still did not think that the Clippers could hang in there. I mean, I assumed it actually was six, but they could have easily won this in four. They could have won this, or in five. Two of the Spurs wins, it felt like the Clippers almost blew
They certainly did blow it. I mean, Blake Griffin turnover at the end of one of their losses was egregious. But we did talk about how the Clippers have the best starting lineup.
Right.
And in this playoffs, they have been by far, by any metric, by far the best starting lineup. The question's going to be, if they get out of this series, can they keep playing this few players this many minutes?
And what's the big baby news?
I don't know.
No. There's, I think this series kind of, I don't know, Popovich, yeah, he's great. Why did Tim Duncan play 28 minutes last night? Why isn't there more action for Kawhi Leonard coming off, basically dominant performances?
Well, he took 15 shots last night, but he just only made three of them.
Right, and I mean, he's getting, it's basically Tony Parker dribbles for 15 seconds, and then they're trying to feed Splitter in some hobbled fashion to create some post action. I don't get it. It just doesn't seem like, you have to run the offense through Manu and Parker. I get it. but it's just not working, and they have to figure something out.
For me, my reading of it is almost so much of it falls back on the fact that Danny Green's just not hitting shots.
Yeah, and that ruins
their
spacing.
He's also struggling on defense.
Right. And Danny Green's going to be a guy, he's a free agent, he's going to be a guy that someone's going to, because I don't know if we... He was so on fire, especially in that the famous finals run where he was almost finals MVP.
Right.
And previous years, and he's been less than that all season. And now on the big stage, he's not hitting his shots. And it's
but that's why you
someone's going to pay out the nose for him, and he's going to do nothing.
That's why you have a Patty Mills and a Marco Bellinelli. Yeah, why aren't those guys getting play?
Well,
especially
they are.
It's okay when Danny Green doesn't hit because Marco Bellinelli, I think, was 4 for 4.
He stepped up last night. He was great.
Really, what this is coming down to is just. The star players for the Clippers are just outplaying everyone.
They're playing so
that
well.
Second half, Chris Paul had like 15.7 assists. I have it here in front of me, and I know that Blake had a huge offensive second half as well. I think he had like 16 points or something like that.
Can we at least think that maybe the Hacka Jordan is messing with?
Can I go to my worst of the week?
Okay, if this is
your worst, let's transition to
it's coaching and it's stuff like Pop doing this hack of DeAndre.
Cream
which
of
is
wheat,
huge,
worst of week.
Right,
this hack of DeAndre is a huge failure.
I think Nylon Calculus had a thing this week about how the hack of I referenced the right analytical online blog.
Yeah.
But there was a thing this week about how Fallow Fool, whatever.
Yes.
Doesn't work because these egregiously bad free throw shooters, say DeAndre Jordan misses half of his shots. However, when you miss a shot egregiously, 20% of those are offensive rebounded.
Yes.
Right.
So he's only scoring 1 point. It's 1 point plus the resulting 20% of those missed possessions.
Right.
And they were saying how like a good free throw shooter, Steve Nash, I think it was, had only had 3 free throws offensive rebounded in his career.
Wow.
Because his beautiful shots roll off perfectly, right. And the guy with inside position gets it.
Of course.
Chuck wanted to know why Tim Duncan only played 28 minutes.
Because
Tim Duncan had 3 fouls in the first half, and they were all heck of DeAndre.
Right, for nothing. And I don't know. It just, you ruin the offensive flow, I think. It does create issues with foul trouble down the line in crunch time because these players can't be as aggressive defensively. It's really just spitting in the face of the game as well, I think, because there's no more playing. It's this dumb chess move that really statistically, I guess, looks good. But as you said...
I think if you delve deeper, you're finding out that it doesn't look that good.
Right.
Here's the thing. Coaches are outsmarting themselves. The Spurs, when they've gone in heck of DeAndre 3 times this series already, have blown leads of 8, 10, and 12. And then my other... I guess I'm doubling up here with a worst of the week.
Please.
Dave Yeager... In the Grizzlies-Blazers game 4, the Grizzlies get a double-digit lead. He decides, okay, I'll give Vince Carter and John Luehr extra run. That lead dematerializes instantly, mm-hmm. And it's all just kind of hubris of coaches. And you know, it's ugly to watch, and you just want to see better out of, especially Pop, the best.
I don't.
Coach. And then Yeager's a coach who I go back and forth on. I like him better than Lionel Hollins, but sometimes I think he kind of outthinks himself.
And the fact that we can, you know, we're the narrative behind the Spurs is they're old. Well, I think maybe Pop isn't. This matchup with the Clippers is giving Pop coaching problems. He's having an issue coaching against the Clippers. And sometimes a good coach has a bad series coaching. Yeah. And I think that's what's happening here. Popovich is having a poor coaching series.
Well, I think it comes back to, again, Chris Paul is unmatched. Blake Griffin is
those
so
high
much
pick
more
and rolls are unstoppable.
The games that Jamal Crawford hits a shot, they win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reddick's
been on fire.
In the 3 losses, Jamal Crawford's 23%.
Right.
Yeah. So if he just is competent.
And the other thing too is when for about 10 minutes a game, Crawford's on Kawhi Leonard and they're not running Crawford around getting his super tired. That's a silly thing.
This week an awful announcing. Reggie Miller calling the game. On Thursday night, Boris Diaw was keeping the Spurs in the game in the fourth quarter, and there was a play when they'd switched Jamal Crawford onto Boris Diaw, and he gets it in the post, and the Clippers send a double team because they're not idiots, mm-hmm. And Reggie Miller's like, why would you double team Boris Diaw in the post? Like, why don't you just let him go one-on-one? It's like, are you watching the game? Like, he's scoring every time he gets it against the power. But that isn't...
Reggie Miller.
Neither here nor there. Just Reggie Miller pylon.
He is Nosferatu hooked on phonics.
I loved him as a player, and now I just... it's killing me.
When you have as many teeth in your head as a shark, maybe you don't have enough room for brains.
Going back to the Hack of Jordan, the Hack of whoever... I think one of the big problems is, as we said, like, it's just getting into foul trouble. And we know that it's been, everyone knows the Clippers, they finished the year with three guys who shoot over 90%. So just getting in the penalty, like conceding that we'll be in the penalty that quickly, seems like such a negative to me. You have no fouls to give at any point.
It disrupts the flow of your offense horribly. And furthermore, it's compounded when DeAndre Jordan has been hitting his free throws.
Yep.
And yet, Pop doesn't feel the need to stop. But I have nothing else to say about it. Pop, I still think he's a great coach. I just think this Clippers, first five is going to be hard to knock out. And I think the Clippers may.
So who do we, real fast, who do we think wins game seven?
I think the Clippers do.
Clippers are home. I'm not going to bet against the Spurs, full stop.
That's how I feel. I feel like this series has been tougher than I thought it was going to be, but it's still... The fact that the Spurs keep winning games, I don't feel like they're supposed to because, like, Blake Griffin loses the ball or DeAndre Jordan goaltends, I feel like that's going to happen. I feel like Chris Paul is going to fall down and lose the ball in the last second shot for the game seven.
Go full Kevin Hart mode?
Yeah.
complete wedding ringer? I picked the Spurs to win it all, but I feel like this Clippers team has been the better team.
And it's just eye-opening to see some of the decisions that are being made, and you just go, okay.
But if Big Baby's out, are we going to see...
He's got to be out.
In
a wheelchair, right?
He was.
They wheeled him out.
Yeah.
If only there was something he could do to take stress off his feet.
He could probably. What are those airsole inserts? You can put those.
Yeah, he
in.
Needs better shoes.
You know, diet pills.
Oh, he's fat. Sorry.
We might see some of Young Republican Spencer Hawes.
Oh. BJ Mullins isn't walking through that door.
All right. My worst of week, going back to the Cavs, J.R. Smith was one of the dirtiest plays I can remember seeing.
MMA spinning back fist.
And from a player who has a long checkered history. You can go on Reddit and see the J.R. Smith greatest hits. A checkered history of punching people.
I'm absolutely
playing
stunned
dirty.
That Chuck doesn't have a J.R. Smith conspiracy this week involving his short suspension.
Him throwing him wildly punching and hitting a guy in the just cold cocking, cheap shotting Jay Crowder in the face.
Knocked him out.
It was knocked him out. He fell, hurt his knee. For me, it was 60% Kermit Washington punch.
Yeah.
Like, at least Kermit Washington and Tom Janovich are looking at each other.
Yeah. Tom Janovich was coming into it. Saw it coming.
This was one of the most shocking, dirty plays I can remember seeing. I feel my Skip Bayless rage building. Like, it angered me to such a degree. And when I saw it happen, I was like, you got to kick him out for five games comfortably. If Jay Crowder is out for an extended time, I would suspend him for the whole playoffs.
Knee sprain. That would be... A knee sprain is probably a series-long injury.
I can't understand how you can look at someone... this is Roger Goodell type sentencing.
Right.
I can't understand how you can look at a player with such a history, see a play that is clearly unambiguously dirty, a guy punching a guy in the jaw, knocking him out.
After a confrontation where someone got ejected for being involved with the same player, you know, there's intent, there's motive. And there's action. You have
recidivism.
This is not manslaughter. This is premeditated murder. Right.
He did this last year too.
Yeah. So the fact that he got only this is all and goes right back to me being happy about Kevin. That's Kevin Love's injury is a karmic payback for that sort of nonsense. And sorry to say, f**kery.
Sure. This might be my second. Conspiracy.
Oh yes.
This week, this is not
gimmick infringement. You know,
this is not even. Well, this isn't
this
Chuck's,
is Chuck's gimmick.
This is not Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week. This is merely Keith's. This is not even a secret. This is not like a deep diving 9/11 truther thing. This is a very apparent.
This is like, look at this weird stuff on the dollar bill.
I think the NBA might want their teams with stars to advance farther in the playoffs.
Here's my Homer theory.
Okay, Kendrick Perkins. Although one could argue Kendrick Perkins not being suspended is a punishment,
right?
you know, Kendrick Perkins being suspended.
Good luck with that argument.
Affects nothing.
That's reverse punishment.
So Kendrick Perkins sets a very dirty screen on Jay Crowder. He runs up with hands extended into the throat, knocks him down, then taunts, yells at him, points at him. Officials correctly call
Dangles
a flagrant foul and technical. They review it. They're like, yes, we got it right. He is ejected. Kendrick Perkins is not suspended. Kendrick Perkins' teammate is LeBron James, who hopefully will go far in the playoffs. J.R. Smith, we've already talked about. Two games. Last year, in the 2014 NBA playoffs, the Memphis Grizzlies were locked in an epic combat with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who possess Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, international stars.
And Steven Adams.
And Steven Adams, destroyer of worlds. Zach Randolph did a little chicken wing, like, slight hit of Steven Adams running up the court, and his arm slipped, caught him up in the neck. Like it slipped up. It was supposed to be a shove, and it ended up being a little shove in the neck. We'll call it, watch the video. It is much less of a hit in the neck than Kendrick Perkins did.
It was like a push with a fist.
It was a push with a fist, and no foul was called.
Oh, yeah, nothing was called.
Nothing was called in the game. 2 days later, the day of game 7, with the Oklahoma City Thunder on the ropes, the NBA is like, Zach Randolph is suspended for game 7.
Yeah.
There is no question that if it was Kevin Durant, he would not be suspended.
Stern!
And yeah. So it feels like that's the Stern watch, but now that you have Adam Silver watching J.R. Smith only get 2 games, watching Kendrick Perkins do something way worse than Zach Randolph did.
Right.
Look, Slugworth learned from Stern, okay? He's going to have some of the same qualities or negative aspects.
Right.
And I think we're seeing it.
He trained under.
Oh, I mean, let's think. If J.R. Smith gets 5 games, the Bulls can win.
Right.
You know, the Bulls can win that series. So now you're looking at possibly that's probably going 7 games. That
I hope so.
That Cavs Bulls series. So
I will watch every game of this series.
Yeah. Now I'm very, very interested. And I thought that was going to be a yawner, especially watching the Bucks kind of put up a fight. I just thought there's no chance. But now with Love out, with the J.R. Smith suspension, there's a chance for the Bulls to pick
with
up.
With Derrick Rose playing adequately?
Decent basketball. Jimmy Butler.
Sporadically.
Adequately. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler being amazing.
Derrick Rose had a good series.
He had a good series. So he's
creating a pace that works for the Bulls. Their offense is playing better.
He's a positive offensive player for them. So
Mike Dunleavy, hot.
So you can see something happening with the Cavs. I think with Love out, you may see one of those emotional hangovers from LeBron. Well, maybe probably not LeBron, because he's gone through this with Chris Bosh, losing Chris Bosh in the Eastern Conference semifinals the year they won against the Thunder. So he understands that losing somebody is something you have to go through, but he's a key piece. Kevin Love was the whole thing was built around him. You know,
Kevin Love was having a good series.
And he was having a good series, and he's really kind of was clicking offensively, you know, with the last third of the season and with the playoffs. Now you wonder where this whole thing goes, if the Cavs are going to keep him. Now they just traded Andrew Wiggins for, you know, a rookie of the year, possibly one of these killer generational guys, and it's all falling apart, and I love it.
Very quickly, we probably doth protest too much, though, because LeBron and Kyrie Irving are playing out of their minds.
They are.
And Tristan Thompson has played very well this series, and they kind of he doesn't spread the floor like Love does, but they actually run a pretty good pick and roll with him and Mozgov. I think they're still going to beat the Bulls.
I think Tristan Thompson's not going to do the damage he did against the Bucks against that Joakim Noah front court.
Man, Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol do not play defense anymore.
They are going to get so outworked.
Yeah.
By Tristan Thompson.
I think you're absolutely right. I think Tristan Thompson is going to have a field day against that front court.
Tristan Thompson has the carrot of dollar bills,
yes,
waving in front of his eyes. The road has been cleared.
He is here.
The Red Sea has parted, and Tristan Thompson Moses is ready to lead his people through a huge contract. All he has to do is get a bunch. He can do 12-12 easy. Like,
no longer Joakim Noah, no longer the defensive player he once was.
Yeah.
And Pau Gasol actively poor.
They're both moving defense so slowly. Compiling those Enes Kanter stats.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Chuck, did you have a worst thing?
I think it's kind of tied back into Kevin Love. While I am happy that the Cavs are struggling and miserable and LeBron is going to hate his life, I'm sad that a key player on a contender is down and we aren't going to get the full actualized
right.
reality of a finals of whatever happens going forward. All of the injuries this year have just made, just put a pox kind of like on the whole season and just feels a little less than whole this year.
I figured this had to be bittersweet for you because now if when LeBron wins, it's like even bigger and more destructive.
Yeah,
could like supernova win.
This could ruin me. If he does this, then yeah. it could ruin me. But I did see three really good players struggle to win championship.
Yeah.
2 years running. And it was very, very difficult. Now they have two great players and a very hodgepodge matched, a team around them without that third superstar. So
I look forward.
We saw LeBron struggle when it was just him and another guy. But the other guy was never Kyrie. But we don't know what Kyrie's going to do, and he's going to get more play now.
I look forward to the dusting off of Let It Fly, Mike Miller.
Could be a beautiful thing.
He who averaged 2.3 points. He averaged 2.3 points in getting the
shot. Tastes great, filling.
Only played like 30, I think.
Listen, all day, people act like they got something to say. Nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish. Because motherfuckers act like they forgot about Timofey.
That's two forgot about Dre. remixes back to back weeks. If you guys are keeping track,
also same with the injury. As a Grizzlies fan, we actually looked forward to as much as you can the Warriors matchup. We thought it was as good as it was a fun underdog matchup, like our front line against their just glorious offense, and seeing if they could put up a fight. But Mike Conley with titanium replacement face. Probably not going to be able to contribute a whole lot in that series, and that series is now not that interesting.
Right.
Mike Conley looked like in the James Bond film Skyfall when Javier Bardem removes the plate from his face. That's what Mike Conley looked like during that game.
If you were watching the TNT broadcast of the closeout game, when they showed Mike Conley like with his hand up in a suite, but it was kind of like blue lighting in the suite. Mm-hmm. It looked like the ghost of Conley from like the end of Return of the Jedi, like the Force Mike Conley just out there like
my
saluting
old lady
us.
Shrieked in horror upon seeing his
face.
Oh,
when face. You see his face, yeah.
She went, "Oh no, he's never playing again." I was like, "It's just swelling. It'll go down. Come on now."
Mm-hmm. All right. So those were our cream of wheat worst of weeks. We mentioned Tristan Thompson. The door is open for him to make a bukoodle money because he's going to be a restricted free agent. I was actually thinking about there's a couple other guys who I think have really helped their financial status.
Is this the rise and shine?
This is the rise and shine. Like you embraced the day, you made yourself some dough.
Not unlike what we've done today, except we didn't make any money.
We're still making no money. So is there anybody that you have seen, you guys have seen?
I think you should go first.
So one guy I thought that is finally, his almost isn't as much making money. His is showing, fulfilling the promise. Otto Porter.
Clap, 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 yeah. clap.
Yeah, so Otto Porter, he was a third pick overall, I think. Yeah, he was a very high pick. And he had been.
Hoya, I believe.
Almost done nothing his whole career. Like
he was injured 1 year. His rookie year was injured.
But still sporadic playing time when he came in. You're like, what does he do? Does he shoot 18-footers and that's it? And even the regular season, not incredible. And he's not, again, the Wizards had a plum matchup with the Raptors. But he's just sliding in beside Paul Pierce at the four, him playing the three. He's looked very athletic. He's played good defense. He's gotten out. He moves quickly, rebounding. He's shooting at a fine percentage, scoring about 10 points a game. And you're like, oh, that looks like a really good
really
complimentary player.
The defense
going forward
has been the biggest eye-opening thing to me. And that's been the story of that series is shifting Paul Pierce to the four has changed the Wizards entirely.
Do you guys, this is a little off of what we just started, but do you guys think it was Whitman planning of all season? I'm only going to whip this out in the playoffs.
Absolutely not.
No way. No way.
Complete happenstance.
You always try to win when you're a coach. You're not like, I'm going to save trying to win for later, especially this year.
I wish more people would do it. If you're in the East and you're like, we're going to make the playoffs, I'm not going to run good plays.
This isn't Red Auerbach we're talking about here.
Yeah.
This is Randy Whitman. He, the master of the clogged toilet offense.
Oh, and did you, there was a, I think it was the closeout game with the Wizards and the Drakes. They were in a timeout. Whitman had the whiteboard.
Oh, the whiteboard vine is the best thing ever.
That was game two.
It was
awful.
It was a game two. Awful. No. Gortat in this game walks up to Whitman and just takes the whiteboard from him and walks away.
More whiteboard madness.
Right. So it's been a very, very difficult trying Whitman.
Whitmania is running wild.
The Whitman sampler
what you
is
gonna do,
full
brother?
Of poop.
Well, I think Porter is the most obvious one to me. There have been some others, but for me, it's been C.J. McCollum, Myers, Leonard. Like, that's been the most eye-opening, like, a good team is going to poach these guys.
I feel like...
Or these guys have earned a bigger role next
They've
year.
Earned a bigger role, because I think both of those guys are on rookie contracts, and they're still going to be locked up for a couple years.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people it sticks out, as in, like, maybe it was just one of those things, if you see, like, you know, in a vacuum, someone's got to fill the space.
Right.
I mean, they obviously both shot incredible percentages. Right. Myers, the whole percentage.
McCollum's was more obvious because he had the 33-point game.
Right.
But per Kevin Pelton, which per NBA stats, Damian Lillard scored 38 points in 48 minutes this series with Myers Leonard, 28.5 per 36, as opposed to only 48 and 110 without.
Wow.
That's an enormous discrepancy.
It really, yeah.
And they were plus +9 when Leonard and C.J. McCollum played, which was by far their best because it wasn't much of a series, folks.
Mm-mm.
I mean, when they played their, you know, Rolo and the other guys, it was a disaster. When they played Myers and C.J., they looked pretty good, and I was really glad that Stotts never really figured it out.
Yeah, it's just a bad coach. Good thing Chris Kaman likes him. My player who I feel has made himself a good bit of money this playoff is Austin Rivers. He's looking at a $5 a week allowance increase from his dad. And his little brother's going to start mowing the lawn for him. So he's pretty happy.
We got to say, full disclosure, flashes of competence.
Yes. Yeah. And we were definitely wrong about him. We have wholeheartedly and collectively pooped on him this whole year. And the trade, the
nobody enjoys nepotism.
No, yeah, just the ugliness of it. But we, you know, I think he's played well.
Two other guys who are actually entering either they have the chance of opting out and are actually going to be facing big paydays. Both
you're
going to
say Aminu and you're going to be wrong.
Wait, Aminu. Which part am I wrong about?
No one is taking Aminu's small flash of offensive competence seriously.
He is going to sign the Austin Crozier Ty Lue Memorial.
Some horrible deal with some horrible team.
You have all these guys. There's a dearth of wings.
Right.
That kind of have this like sort of stretch. He hit his threes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Those beautiful moonshot rainmakers.
Oh my God.
They're so high. But so he's a guy making a minimum salary. So, and he's clearly opting out.
Yeah. I mean,
someone's going to sign up. I'm not saying he's going to
season pickup.
He's not making a $10 million a year.
No.
I'm just saying he's going to sign like $5 million a year comfortably.
God help that team. If it's the Grizzlies, I'm walking out of the building.
But you know who else, the victim of the J.R. Smith murder, Jay Crowder, same situation.
Jay Crowder has just flourished after the trade.
$900,000 a year. He's going to be, I think, restricted, and he's going to get an offer sheet.
Yeah, right. And thankfully, when he was knocked the F out and his knee buckled,
right.
there was no structural damage, and it's not going to
And then the same thing, Damari Carroll, same situation.
Yes, yeah. Damari Carroll.
All these 3-and-D kind of guys.
He was already going to get a big raise, but having, you know, that 20-point first half is going to be huge for him.
He's scoring a lot.
One more guy I want to talk about. I don't know if it's going to be a wage increase, but I see some parallels between Mike Dunleavy in Chicago and Kyle Korver in Chicago. And somebody could take a player like Dunleavy and put him in a more motion-based offense, and Mike Dunleavy could be a much better player than what he is on the Bulls.
He's having a really good playoff series, and I think Dunleavy has a player option because he's an older guy. He might opt out and look to get a longer contract.
He probably should because you know, think of what he would be like on the Hawks or the Spurs because he does the same. He runs off screens beautifully, is a dirty little so and so on defense. I mean, I see more potential from Mike Dunleavy Jr., which is strange to say about a late 30s player, but that's what I see.
I mean, the story isn't completely written yet. He still has a chance to redeem himself, But I'll tell you who's probably not opting out, Jeff Green. Green hasn't earned himself a longer contract from anybody else yet.
No.
Jeff Green will opt in as long as he might.
Also, I think other guys who might be free, Robin Lopez, Omer Asik, Amir Johnson, none of them really increased their value this playoffs. All right. Now I think it's time for maybe John's least favorite segment. John, however, has not lost the last two.
No.
Still waiting for that victory.
Didn't win.
He has not lost.
Not lost.
This is our trivia contest, the game of scones. This week's topic is about great shooters. The 50-40-90 Club is a elite company. That means obviously for our listeners, 50% field goals, 40% 3-point percentage, 90% from three.
Since this is a listening program, there's some heavy gamesmanship going down from Chuck right now. He has on neon tiger striped glasses, has changed posture, and is sort of staring me down, but is now staring Keith down.
Yeah,
I'm freaking out.
I will retain
my right.
This is an exclusive club. There are 9 members of the 50-40-90 Club who have played a mere 300 minutes in a season. So that's nothing. That's like, what? That's under four minutes a game if you played all 82 games. So of players who have played at least 300 minutes in an NBA season, there are 9 members of the 50-40-90 Club. John, you said you want to go first?
Yes.
All right. So now the way we'll do it
How many strikes do we get?
We get 3 strikes. We get 3 strikes. These are the greatest shooters, arguably. 3 strikes, and then you are eliminated. To win, you have to answer the final question once your opponent is eliminated. Okay, John.
I'll begin with Steve Nash.
Steve Nash, a many-time 50-40-90 man.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk Nowitzki is a 50-40-90 club member.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird! Absolutely.
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller did it. Yes.
Del Curry.
Del Curry, never a 50-40-90. That is one
son of a.
That is one strike for John.
Mark Price.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's a good one. That's well played.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's never done it.
Whoa! Two Curry strikes.
He's so close, and he's shooting at such a volume that it's amazing that he's getting there. It's 2 strikes. We got 4. Oh, we have 4 guys left.
I'm gonna go with Kevin Durant.
Absolutely, Kevin Durant. I think 2012-13. Chuck is on fire.
This is not good. I'm going to stay in my Curry mode. Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. Yes. Steve Kerr did it. Lower on the minutes list of some of the other guys.
He's like 301.
Actually, I think it's like 1800. I mean, all right. So we have 2 guys left and
50-40-90.
Chuck 50-40-90. Has not missed a single one.
John has 2 strikes. Chuck has no strikes.
the streak of non-wins and non-losses.
How many players are left?
2. There's 2 correct answers left.
I can't even win.
No, you really can't.
You're right. I really should punt. But I'll give it a try. The last one that I could think of, Ray Allen.
No. Okay, that's Chuck's first strike. Now, because I'm going to give a hint, because the final two are, I think, kind of difficult.
Okay.
Your hint is they are both currently on NBA rosters.
Okay.
Oh boy.
So they're not older players.
Okay.
That's a huge hint.
Mm-hmm.
Or strike that last thing. They're both on NBA rosters.
So these might even be younger guys. I'm going to go with this is going to be strike 3.
Yep. Our listeners are all
prepared.
But
I have to get the last one. I have to get one of
You just have to get one more.
One more.
You have to get one more.
I'm going to go with Klay Thompson.
No.
Damn it.
John is eliminated. Chuck has a chance to win, and I'm telling you, this is not in the bag. These are kind of difficult.
I will do Grievous Vasquez.
That is crazy. You should be eliminated immediately.
Yeah, that's one of the worst.
No, not Grievous Vasquez. Who's the other Hispanic guy?
Beno Udrih?
No, the guy that
Jose Calderon.
Calderon. That's what I meant. That's who I meant. That's correct, who I meant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's who I meant.
Jose Calderon is correct.
Okay. Calderon is.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
great free throw shooter, great 3-point shooter.
I don't know if that's kind of racist of you.
It's very racist.
But the judges will accept it.
Are they both Puerto Rican?
I believe
no.
Venezuelan.
Okay.
For Grievous.
Yeah.
And Jose Calderon is Spanish.
Yes. Okay, so I'm so wrong and racist.
I'm mad I didn't get Calderon.
The final answer is the reason why we did this, why this was the quiz of the week.
What team is he on?
He's on the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, damn.
Steve Blake?
CJ McCollum? It can't be Myers Leonard.
Myers Leonard,
no
boys and girls.
Way.
Myers Leonard is your ninth inductee to the 50-40-90 club.
That's insane.
Is that not insane?
Yeah.
He's like 7'9" and looks like
Myers Winklevoss, drafted as a shot blocker, entered the 50-40-90 club.
That's insane.
One of those Orangemen, man. Beheim makes him shoot those free throws.
If you lower the standard to 200 minutes, Steve Novak squirrels his way in.
Oh, there you go.
That's like the smallest sample size.
Almost guessed Novak.
I wouldn't have given you a strike. All right, real quick, let's do our awards segment, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which goes to the worst performance in a box score, heavily weighted on shooting and turnovers. We have a few honorable mentions. Isaiah Thomas, honorable mention, 4-for-17, although he had a huge line. But Amon Shumpert kind of solved Isaiah Thomas, shut him down. Jimmy Butler went 5-for-21, honorable mention, but he filled it up in many other ways. Nick Batum, honorable mention. Not enough shots for one game, but over games four and five combined, 5-for-25. Our three nominees for the week. Kyle Lowry, you don't look healthy. 5-for-22, 15 points, 7 assists.
He somehow seemed fat again, too. Did anyone else think that?
He just
he looked bloated. It was like looking in a mirror.
I feel sad. We haven't mentioned the Raptors because they've been obliterated in good riddance.
It's depressing.
It retroactively, I think Bill Simmons said it kind of retroactively makes sense why Masai made no moves at the trade deadline. He's kind of like, this is fool's gold. We're bad. We're just going to, let's just ride this out. Now they can do whatever they want.
I just want to know how DeMar DeRozan ever tricked me into thinking he was good. Cause when you really pay attention to him over a series,
he had like a month and a half of really awesome.
He can't dribble like at all. He is the reverse Steph Curry handles.
We also could have mentioned maybe Terrence Ross not really seizing the opportunity to make himself coin.
How is Terrence Ross not awesome? He's like been in 3-point shooting contest and dunk contest.
He scored 50 once.
Yes, this doesn't make sense.
All right, we're distracted. Kyle Lowry, 5-for-22. Our next nominee, Jamal Crawford. As we said, in losses, he's shooting 23%. We had to pick one of those games. One of them is game 3. He went 1-for-11, 5 points, 2 assists. And Derrick Rose, you looked great for a while. Game 4, 5-for-20, 13 points, 6 turnovers.
So you didn't take last night into account then?
Which one from last night?
Kawhi Leonard had a terrible shooting night.
He did have a bad...
3-for-15.
Yeah. No, there was, again, the playoffs too hard. I like 5-for-21 for 11. There were, again, they're letting him play. They're letting him play in the postseason. I do like it.
I'll go with, who was the first one?
Kyle Lowry, 5-for-22.
I'll go with Kyle
15-7.
Lowry.
I think Derrick Rose, 5-for-20 is my vote. 5-for-26 turnovers.
I'm going to give it to Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, and that is our international Stackhouse of Pancakes. Goes to Derrick Rose, who is moving on, though. All right, wrapping up. What's our par fadeaway? Anything special going on? We have Game 7 and Pacquiao Mayweather.
Game 7, gamblers, bet on Mayweather, bet the farm.
I don't know anything about boxing.
Pacquiao is not on steroids for this fight.
And I don't watch sporting events with people who beat people.
Are you sure that you don't watch it all the time, like 82 games of it?
Actually, yeah, never mind.
The Nets Hawks is gonna be on Friday night game. I think this will post before that happens. I'm excited about what's gonna happen. All right, stick around real fast. John and I are gonna do a Grizzlies epilogue where we break down what we think. We're gonna sell you on our rose-colored glasses
the best possible scenarios for how the Grizzlies will beat the Warriors.
Keith's going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's a little fan fiction I wrote. It's, anyway, so thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Thanks to all our listeners and those who have told their friends about us.
Like, rate, review on iTunes.
It helps us out, raises us in the charts. I think we have the 12th highest rated breakfast podcast.
Awesome.
Let's get to six next week, yeah. Folks.
All right.
Let's cut that in half.
Thanks for listening. And remember,
breakfast the Peloton
is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue.
Whoop that trick.
The Grizzlies won a playoff series. That's
Yay.
Awesome. I mean, it's such a weird, it feels less exciting than it ever has before.
Because of Conley.
It's because of Conley's being hurt and because, you know, you're obviously staring down the barrel of
of the golden gun,
right? Of the Warriors just sitting out there waiting for us. But I mean, it's also one of those things where you want to savor it because you don't win playoff series much. You know, the Grizzlies only won a couple, you know, what, three, I think, ever. So it's, you know, this is our fourth one.
Well, I have a master plan.
What's the master plan?
It requires Dr. Frankenstein. And we combine Nicholas Calathes and Beno Udrih into one player. And that way, when you play... Because when you play Calathes, you get quality defense, no offense, unless he miraculously hits threes.
Hits 4 out of 5 threes!
Which is strange. And with Beno Udrih, it is just calamitous level D. And actually, right now, with his ankle twisted, he's not really getting the separation.
He's really struggling because he's hurt. And yes. He's almost unplayable.
Super Beno is...
They briefly went no point guard.
And I thought it was genius.
It seemed genius. I don't know why you wouldn't try that more. I don't know why Jordan Adams isn't also like...
Right.
A desperation. Can you bring the ball up the court?
I think we'll... You know, well, he's a two also. So
right.
I think we'll see more of the two shooting guards if we don't see Conley back.
I think he might. I don't. It's one of those where it's like, it's better than the alternative. Beno cannot guard on a good day. He's a bad defender.
Right.
Like the last time the Grizzlies played the Warriors, he was like the chair that,
Chairman Yee,
Leon was just doing dunks over like what that was. The Klay Thompson hit 12 threes or they hit them like 12 threes in the first half and they were all wide open, right. or Beno Udrih standing helplessly in front of a person just as a shooting dummy.
Yeah, he doesn't even really attempt to play defense.
Game five against Portland was one of the most, I think another reason it wasn't that exciting was it was a miserable game.
Yes.
Miserable to watch. The whole time you're thinking, oh, if we go back to Portland, we're definitely losing game six.
Right.
And then it's a game seven, and then, like, everything's terrible. And so I think part of that, and you were sitting at like 65-65 in the fourth, and you're like, this is a nightmare.
I mean.
But then they pulled it out, so you're like, all right, fine. It was hard to get so elated.
Gasol scored like 30% of our points in that game.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good, but I mean, it's not going to happen.
It's not great.
But it's not going to happen very often. And the other thing that's so disheartening about this series is the reason we beat the Blazers is they quite simply could not hit shots, and the Warriors hit shots.
Or their player. Yeah, right. The Grizzlies are bad at covering the three.
Yes. And that's the game they play.
And that is, and a lot of it feels like it's choice. It's like defensive scheme choice. We're going to leave some of these shots open.
Everyone keeps saying what a great matchup, like that the Grizzlies are the toughest matchup for the Warriors. The Warriors are the toughest matchup for the Grizzlies, too.
It's
because they do exactly what we do not defend.
I don't know. That is true. Agreed. I was thinking like, well, they're the toughest matchup maybe for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, as it turns out, when you have the best O and the best D. One thing promising I took away from game five is Jeff Green has been horrible, struggling on his 2-point shot. He played really effective, very important defense in that game five. He was great defending, and he's going to be needed. He's going to be guarding... He's going to be doing time on Steph and on Klay Thompson, I think. Ooh. I think there's going to be weird moments where, like, because just because of his size.
Right.
It's like Tony Allen is going to be stuck on, again, we're stuck if Mike's not playing and if Mike's just can't move. The silver lining of the face injury is another week off his feet. But so I'm hopeful Jeff Green gets his offense going a little bit. But I hope that, like, the fact that he played well and he hit a couple big shots coming on the stretch.
So you think Jeff's going to be on guards. I think that Golden State's going to go small on us a lot and that Jeff Green's going to have to play a lot of four.
I see. That's my fear is the Grizzlies matching their small.
I think it's everyone's fear.
And
because it's really going to hurt
Kufis. Kufis, I think, got 9 minutes in game five, got 12 minutes in game four. I want more of Zach's minutes to go to Kufis.
Absolutely.
Kufis has played great.
The Kufis-Gasol pairing that's used very infrequently, it's almost impossible to score on them down low.
Here's what ran through my brain watching Kufis in game five not get any minutes after playing an incredible first half.
Right.
My thought was, is the Grizzlies front office, are they doing the thing that the Grizzlies do when a guy's at the end of his contract?
Yeah, they don't want to showcase him.
They freeze him out.
Yeah.
In my mind, they do this to the detriment of the team. Like last year, they didn't play Ed Davis in the playoffs.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you're not coming back here.
And he signed a minimum deal.
Right, right. Well, apparently, no one's fully gotten to the bottom of the story. He might have the worst agent ever because the Grizzlies offered him a good amount of money. But and then the same with, no one knows the James Johnson story, if everyone hated him or just wanted him gone. And he might have murdered a second franchise.
Something's up with James Johnson.
Oh, no. I think he might be like, oh, he beats women and no one wants to, he has never been convicted. And maybe teams figure out, this guy's a creep. I'm not playing him.
He has neck tattoos.
Why won't someone write that?
And wears tap out shirts.
Why won't someone write that expose?
I guess because we're the only two people in the world who care about James Johnson.
No, man, Twitter cares.
and the people in the North.
Grizzlies all care, and then now all the Raptors all care. Also, another guy who played really well, not incredibly, when you look at the box score, Chuck's boy. I'm sorry, Chuck had to take off.
Vince Carter. Yes.
Vince Carter. One, it looks like he's gotten to the playoffs and he's like, he understands he needs to have more discretion on his shots. But he has played, he's also a dummy on defense, just people going straight around him. But typically he does start in the right position on defense. And then on offense, he's looked competent and looks calm.
I think Vince, and I'm not exaggerating, I think Vince is four times better at defense than Bano is. And I mean, that's just more of a testament.
He had a great block shot / steal. I don't know how they counted it last game.
Vince has intelligence. And
right.
To me, he's our emergency point guard right now.
Oh my. But okay. Like
he can bring it up and, you know.
He can barely run, John.
Yeah, but he can come up and distribute. Like Calathes doesn't know how to distribute the ball.
He's not a distributor.
He can't create offense. Our offense is so stagnant when he is in that it's just painful to watch.
Chris Harrington tweet was a Calathes post entry is by definition into a double team.
Calathes, and it hurts me to see him kind of fall apart in front of me like this. And I'm not letting his three pointers sway me because I'm watching the games.
Oh yeah,
I thought he was a high IQ basketball player. He still is on defense. Wonderful defensive player.
He's a good defender.
Knack for the steal, and really good at getting through screens. On offense, he is mentally devoid.
It's really weird to watch. He every now and then hits the home run on the pick and roll, like to a diving Kufis or Gasol, but so many of his feeds are off. He throws weird passes where it's like those worked in college and in high school, but they get deflected in their turnovers. And
well, the worst is when Calathes and Zebo are together, they feed each other's worst tendencies because Zebo can be a black hole.
Right.
And Calathes is not afraid to throw it to you when their best defender is all over you.
And that's the fear playing the Warriors. So many of those games, I feel like the last two games, there was so the ones that Bogut played, there was so much of Zebo just doggedly, stubbornly going right at Bogut. That's a horrible matchup for Memphis.
It really, to me, it could be a 4 or 5 game series because we're going to need scoring from the wings and the guards, and that's really not our game. And we're going to need Courtney Lee.
And they've been doing it.
Yeah, we're going to need Courtney Lee to keep doing what he's been doing.
The positive take, one of the positive takes is against the Blazers. Even though Mark was obviously the best, one, sorry, I just brief tangent in my mind. Why wouldn't the Grizzlies consistently keep going to Mark in this series? That was one of the most frustrating things, was them having Myers Leonard guarding him a lot, and they would not go to.
Every time Mark got it against Myers Leonard, it was a textbook, right? Just break him down.
And so I don't
even know, when he wouldn't make the shot at me, he was getting a good look.
Exactly. It was the look you want, and it was frustrating. But
that won't be the case against Bogut and Draymond Green, though.
That's true. I mean, they're going to make it hard. They're going to cover everything. We need Courtney Lee. But what I was saying is, one of the good things about the Portland series is our front court scoring was bad.
Yes.
Z-Bo took, what, 86 shots to get 70 points in five games?
And what sucks about that is I don't think that's going to change, and I don't think it's in Z-Bo's nature to defer. Not in the playoffs. He did it this season better than I've ever seen him do it.
He also seems so slow in the playoffs. I mean, a lot of it coming down the stretch, I feel like the Grizzlies do that. I don't know if you call it a European foul, the stop the fast break foul that's become really in vogue. I feel like a lot of it for the Grizzlies, they've come in the last month of the season, they're doing it all the time, and it just made them look like the slowest people ever. Just because they're like, a regular team could get back right now.
Yeah.
But either Tony or Z-Bo will just reach out and grab a guy.
The Matador foul.
Right.
We have to discuss this because it Orioles flipped by. The number of texts that we sent between ourselves that were just Z-Bo as high as a kite in Portland texts that we sent to each other. Because, I mean, Z-Bo, incredibly intelligent basketball player, sometimes looked completely lost in that series.
He was getting beat to rebounds.
Yes.
LaMarcus Aldridge was getting inside position all the time and just going right around him.
There'd be moments where he would just be pirouetting, kind of not near anyone, searching frantically for his man. And look, I've done a few bong rips in my day. That's what happens. You kind of lose your sense of time and space.
And even he's doing the thing which frustrated me. This is not so much him being high. He was doing the thing, the loss where he was 6-for-20 and didn't shoot a free throw. A lot of it, I don't think that was poor officiating. It was just him throwing himself into LaMarcus Aldridge, and LaMarcus Aldridge was playing decent defense. He was just, and again, you do that against Draymond and Bogut, you're getting no calls. And you're getting live ball turnovers. Like, they're going to take that away and go. Speaking of the refereeing.
Oh, boy.
Game 5 in Memphis. The crowd was insane.
Well.
In not a good way.
Yes.
Something like 7 ref you suck or like. And I saw on Twitter, apparently, the official scorers have to record every time the home crowd gets into a unified throng.
I did not know this.
Of ref you suck. I didn't know this either. And apparently, if it keeps happening, a team will be fined.
Wow.
So
here's a Tennessee thing. Nashville Predators game and Tennessee Titans.
No.
Game
this
the
is
same way.
This is like a college basketball town thing.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City does it.
Yeah.
the Texas teams all do it. Like, I mean, honestly, I guess everyone does it. But I feel like there's a more outrage in these type markets. And I thought it was kind of a bad look for Memphis. Like, the Grizzlies were playing terrible, and all the crowd seemed to care about. The Grizzlies were almost going full LA Clippers mode, just complaining. And
there were a couple of calls that were very confusing. And once that happens, that gets in the crowd's head a bit.
I'm fine with one or two.
Yeah.
Yes, the refs had a few questionable calls, and I understand when it compounds with your home team struggling, you're going to get frustrated. But it was a bit out of hand. And then when Myers Leonard checked out of the game, someone threw a growl towel and hit him. That's not a good look, people. You don't want your smallest market team to be the one that's throwing things on the court at people, even grit, if it is kind of funny.
Grit, grind, hustle, flow.
Grit, grind, whoop that trick. This is Memphis.
If he looked more like Justin Timberland or Timberlake or whatever,
right,
instead of Justin Bieber, that wouldn't have happened.
I know. There is a palpable disdain based on his appearance.
Absolutely.
All right, so what do you think? I'm thinking it's Warriors in 5.
I think that sounds about right.
And I think it's going to be blowout. Mike Conley's going to come back. If they don't get that game 3, just that's curtains.
I think we need David Lee to play a lot.
Right.
And he's not playing at all.
If Courtney Lee, here's your promised fan fiction. If Courtney Lee keeps hitting his shots, Courtney Lee is going back to like early season. Courtney Lee, he's on fire. He's hitting all his shots. Clay this keeps playing good defense. If Jeff Green finds his mismatches, plays within himself, gets that aggressive stuff, and then it's all on the front court. It's all about getting those offensive rebounds, slowing the game down. You have those two shooters who are now in the second round for the second time in their career. They've never advanced farther than this. We got to switch the story to the pressures on the Warriors. Don't waste your historic season. Grizzlies just have to get one thing, get them in the pressure, take that crowd out of it with those.
I think my Frankenstein's monster
is a more realistic. Could be true. All right. You guys let us know what you think. Thanks for listening. Go Grizz. It is exciting. Hey, second round of the playoffs. Doesn't happen that often. It's happy to be one of the few teams left. That's all we got. Go Grizz.
Arrive safely.